Welcome to the Iceland Travel Podcast. I'm your road-tripping Icelandic host, Skúli Arason. In this podcast, we learn about Iceland from people who help paint a comprehensive picture of the country as a whole. I was in the southernmost point of Iceland, in the village of Vík, in the Mýrdalsdalur region. After having visited some of the gems there, I dropped by in the home of Holly Kaiser, who owns and runs the unusual and charming coffee establishment School Beans. It's located in a stationary school bus and serves delicacies in a truly Insta-friendly setting. We talked everything about what Vík has to offer. On our excellent homepage, icelandtravel.is, there are many informational blogs, articles about Iceland and many aspects of the country. There are multiple tours there that visit Vík, as well as various hiking and nature tips for the whole country. Check out icelandtravel.is for more. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter and YouTube as well. Stay up to date by smashing those like and subscription buttons and get all the Iceland content and inspiration we have online. Hi, Holly.
Hello.
Nice to be in Vík.
Welcome.
It's always a joy. At the moment, this is like autumn is beginning. It's kind of foggy. And that's the way that's Vík to me.
This is summer in Vík as well.
Yeah. Well, I have this image, you know, because when you're here, the landscape in Iceland changes all the time. That's one thing that we know. And the landscape in Vík has this kind of magical, elf-like, mountainous, you know, vibe.
I like to call it atmospheric.
It's very atmospheric.
Yeah, it's really nice. And it changes minute by minute as well. Sometimes you see the mountains, sometimes you don't, and sometimes the cloud is in the middle. So it's really cool if you're into photography or mythical creatures.
Mythical creatures. And we know the thing with photography. Sometimes when you have just clear skies, it's not that interesting.
No.
You get harsh lights, the contrast is too much, you know. There's no nuances in the clouds or nuances in the grass or anything.
You get everything within the space of an hour here.
We're in the best situation at the moment.
Best town in the world.
And best town in the world for you. Why are you here in Vík?
That's a really common question I get. Why am I here in
Yeah,
Vík?
People always say, why are people where they are in general in life, you know?
Yeah, whoa, man, this is deep. Well, I actually moved from Melbourne. I'm from England, but I lived in Australia for 6 years.
Okay.
And then I came to Iceland 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I first started as a glacier guide in Skaftafell.
Okay.
And I learned very fast that it was really hard to get a decent cup of coffee outside of the city.
Oh, my God.
So, but the more time I spent in Skaftafell and living in a small town, an hour in between here, called Kukkibergsland, which I know I say probably really badly.
Let's do it again.
Kukkibergsland.
Oh man, that's just perfect. I'll say it as well, Kukkibergsland.
Oh, yeah, I said it better. Yeah. Who wore it best, me?
For you listeners out there, you know Holly said it best. You know, that's true.
But every time I came to Reykjavik, Vík would be my little stopping point. I really love when you come from Reykjavik and you come over the hill, that view of the church and the ocean, and it's quite an iconic church because of that view.
Mm-hmm.
And then you drive through and it's just pretty with bridges and cute sort of little nooks and crannies you can drive around. And so the more time I spent here driving through, the more I liked it. And then I spent a couple of days here where I just felt this town actually is quite innovative. It's tiny and it's got a brewery, a lava show, a zip line. At the time there was a little pop-up soup company, which is now the main one,
mm-hmm.
where they had it in military, like a container tent.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt like there was a tiny town underneath a huge volcano that was innovative, showed me that it was open to diversity,
mm-hmm.
And there were also pockets for niche things here as well. Mm. And I really liked it. And then I met a few people who lived here, and it just seemed like everybody I met in Vik was really nice. Yep. And I was like, I think I'll plop myself there for a while. So, yeah, I knew what I wanted to do, but I wanted to see a little bit more life in Vik. So I took the first step of buying a house, having never lived here.
It's a huge step.
Massive step, but... I also knew that Vik has a huge housing shortage, so I felt that at the time it was a really, and I still feel, a great investment. It's not this one. This is Johannes's. He's bigger than me, so he got a bigger house. Mine's the little one up the road.
Right, so you snatched up a Vik Viking?
Or? I did snatch up a... Well, he's not a Vik Viking. He actually moved to Vik because I was here. So yeah.
So he got snatched too here. Yeah.
He got snatched up and then had a house competition and bought a bigger house.
Beautiful. I won.
He did win. and then I realised very quickly it was a perfect location for what I wanted to do. It wasn't going to compete with anybody else, and it was going to add to the already existing growing infrastructure here.
Mm.
So that's why I'm in Vik, really. But primarily it was a community that encouraged me to believe that it was... a nice place to live, and my gut feeling wasn't wrong.
No, I mean, and also because maybe as like Iceland in general, every day is kind of different, right? I mean, Vik has this kind of really, I mean, it gets really busy in the summertime. And
it can get very busy. 2.1 million visitors every year in this tiny town.
Yeah.
Tiny town, a roughly 600 to 700 people population. A little bit more in high season, a little bit less in low season.
Yeah.
But the visitors, once you learn their rush hours, it doesn't really affect living here.
No.
So you learn very quickly what time not to go to the supermarket, because that's when the coaches arrive. I think every area along the south has this, I wouldn't call it a problem, I'd say situation, because it's the reason, it's definitely not a problem, it's the reason why Vik exists.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you are tolerant to it, and it's not a bad thing, it keeps things diverse, things going, it pays for my house.
I think one interesting thing is because people have this, I mean, we talk about things being self-sufficient and being diverse enough, and after having maybe experienced kind of a boom that Iceland did, then we got COVID.
Yeah.
And, for example, because there was a lot of diversity and things happening, and sometimes people say, oh, there's so many tourists. But when you think about it, it was never that much. And when you didn't have the same kind of diversity, things got kind of dull very fast.
It was a double-edged sword for me, because I opened my business 12 hours after COVID rules came in.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that. Just finish. I'll say that I'm just finishing a cup of school beans coffee right now.
You have to tell me how it was, and I'm right here, and I know where my knives are in my house.
It's really good. Don't cut me. Oh, it's really good. Excellent.
I'm
feeling really refreshed. Now we have a good cup of coffee in South of Iceland.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm very proud of that.
Yeah, but you opened just after COVID.
Yeah, it took me 2 years to renovate. COVID has started to creep its way this way.
Mm-hmm.
But we were still very much an open country, whereas others were suffering a lot harder. And then it was like, well, it's now or never. 2 years I've been working on this project. Excuse me. So Johannes and my dad were outside the bus building the benches. Everything was in the bus. Marketing campaign had launched. And then we get the news that it's, you know, Iceland is changing and it's starting at midnight that night. So I had this moment of, well, do I pause everything and stop, or do I just deal with it? And so I decided to go for it, and it was brilliant, because even though Iceland really went so quiet, and Vik was, it was hilarious, because if we did get a tourist, everybody in the town knew that person, And there was one guy, I can't remember his name. He was, I think he was an English guy. I think it was something like James or Steve or something. And he would walk down the street and locals would be like, "Hey, James!" And he's like, "What is this town where everybody knows me?" It was really funny.
It's like tears.
It was hilarious. But everybody knew, the bus had opened, so the community really supported me.
Yeah.
And they helped me survive through a time where other businesses weren't necessarily surviving around Iceland. So
yeah.
I was very, very lucky to be here.
Yeah, I think of the businesses that, you know, thrived a little bit more, there were things like maybe different things. And definitely the school beans is a different thing, you know,
yeah.
Coffee in a bus with bagels and goodies.
Yeah.
While maybe hotels had a worse time, you know.
Hotels and hospitality industry as a whole had a really hard time.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did was set up a program called Veek United, which is, it was a program where all of the restaurateurs or hospitality at the cafes who wanted to join, we all made a network. And rather than us compete with each other to succeed, we helped each other.
Mm.
And that was by making sure that we all didn't open or close on a specific day, that we communicated opening hours.
Mm.
We celebrated events with each other. We had a poster up directing people. So if someone came to the bus and it was closed,
mm.
it would have a list of what was open at that particular time and exactly where it was on a map. So rather than us all trample over each other, we were in this really united, we were Veek United, and it worked. It was brilliant. And we had a take a picture, save a tree campaign. So if they took the picture of the poster at my bus,
mm-hmm.
took it to say the soup company, if I was close, they would save 10%.
Oh, yeah.
So rather than Veek be this transient town that a lot of Icelanders just drive through, it's not a destination, they actually were encouraged to explore all the corners and discovered restaurants that weren't even there. So it was really successful. And I think because I opened at a time where people weren't leaving to go to Reykjavik anymore and local shops were closed, at least School Beans offered something a little bit new for the locals to pass the time with. So I was really lucky, yeah, and grateful, my goodness.
I mean, things change a lot. And now it's all, you know, well, this is the fall of 2021. Yeah. Things are, you know, up and running.
Things are up and running. Everybody has had an insane summer,
mm-hmm.
busiest ever. All the business owners are just shell-shocked.
Yeah.
We can see it starting to calm down a bit now. Not necessarily slow down, but calm down.
Yeah.
And not to say anything out of turn, but that's maybe not a bad thing, because we were all really shocked by the sudden opening of the country, and Iceland ran out of stock. We still don't have paper cups in Iceland. We're all trying to share amongst each other, and it's really like, there you are with one. I'll be washing that up later, putting it in the bus. No, not really. Not really. But it's, it's been a really fun summer.
Yeah. I think everyone has noticed, you know, the difference in the vibe in general. You know, people are just ready for, you know, everything. And I think one thing is great that, for example, me as an Icelander that used to perhaps drive through a lot, you know, you're doing the rounds and you're thinking, oh, it's raining, and we never give ourselves time sometimes. You just stop.
Exactly.
That's our problem, I think. That's an Icelandic thing, you know. We see all the great tourists, they're smart enough to stop at each location. We say, we've seen this before, let's go to our destination. And sometimes that's like driving around the country in 2 days, things like that.
Oh, my goodness.
But then again, now, because when you stop, and you notice, okay, I have the choice of many restaurants, I have a choice of many activities, you know, I have a choice of many walking paths, all these things.
So many.
Mm-hmm.
And even things that pop up that, like, I don't, you've probably been to Seljalandsfoss hundreds of times, but did you know about the donuts there?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's like our absolute stop. Johannes didn't know, my boyfriend didn't know about them. And when I go to the Reykjavik,
mm-hmm.
I always get my donuts there.
Mm-hmm.
Trick is to get four, share them with the person you're with,
mm.
you have half of it each.
Yeah.
You only have two donuts, yet it feels like you have four.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's a tasting menu.
It's a tasting menu, absolutely. And so if you just take a moment to stop, it's really nice. And on that, my boyfriend hadn't really been to Vic until we got together.
Ooh.
And then he learned a little bit more about what was here. And I mean, we have puffins by the thousands here, away from the tourist stops, mm-hmm. as you would say.
Yeah.
Whale, humpback whales in the sea. Yeah. Every year they come. Mm-hmm. And hiking, the best beautiful little day hikes I've ever had.
Mm.
A beach, waterfalls,
mm.
all within my front doorstep.
Yeah.
And that's, I don't know many places in the world that I could locate myself and have all of that.
Yeah.
And really good coffee.
It's a big thing for me, you know, good coffee and good beer. That's my two favorite
drinks.
Well,
we've got a brewery and school beans in the town, so we have you covered.
Yeah. I'm going to visit the brewery later today.
Yeah, but there is a house for sale up the road, by the way.
Let's see. I'm a South Iceland boy by heart, so yeah. it's close to me anyway. I was just finishing a zipline tour.
Yes.
With my high school, with my secondary grammar school friend, Isa.
Isa is a very good friend of mine.
But she was in my class.
She's
small country.
Such a small country. Everybody knows. You're either friends or related to everybody here.
Yeah, something like that.
But she actually makes a lot of the stuff for the bus as well, the jams and things. Oh. It's,
the cranberry jam.
Yes. Oh, and when she does the chutney, or we call it ram jam, mm-hmm. cranberry jelly and ram jam.
Okay, now it's berry season. We're diverting a lot, I know, but
yes.
Crowberries are the black ones that are really, really common. You can basically get them everywhere in Iceland.
Yum.
Then we have blueberries, quite common. This summer, they're more fertile in the north than in the east.
Ah.
What it is, I know
this. That.
Not as common here. And then we have chutney, which is like the number three, and they're not as common.
Short season.
Yeah, short season. You find them in shrubbery areas.
Harder to pick.
Yeah, harder to pick.
Yes.
But they're so beautiful, red and
delicious.
Deep. And the jam has a really deep tone. I like to think of it like a more acid-y red wine kind of atmosphere.
Really,
in that
exactly
jam.
That. Yeah. And Isa makes a jam where she leaves the berries in there. So it's almost like pomegranate berries in there.
Yeah, because you get the stones and everything. Yeah.
And you don't need anything. It's literally the chutney, water and sugar. There's no gelatin, so it's a vegan jam.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when she makes that for the bus, it's gone within minutes.
Yeah.
We put it on social media. All the locals just come and just go, that please. And then I have to phone her and go, sorry.
Yeah, because it's such a rare jam as well. I mean, that's not the one. My parents, they are chutney aficionados. They just picked 2 kilos last week.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, next to Laugavatn in South Iceland. There's a lot of them there. But they're everywhere. And if a pro tip for me, you know, I live in Reykjavik. And if you're here, kids, in the end of August, beginning of September, that's berry season.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to the National Park of Þingvellir, that's prime berry country.
I didn't know this. This is good to know.
Yeah.
I will probably tell Isa rather than go there myself, though.
I mean, and the thing is,
I'll probably pick the really poisonous ones and serve them by accident.
They're poisonous mushrooms. So don't think we have many poison berries, I hope. Yeah. But, okay, if we look at Vík as a destination,
mm-hmm.
because we like to inform everyone about what's here. I mean, what would you say was a nice day to spend here? Let's say you're arriving in the morning, so to speak. You know, you have something to do.
Are we talking a sunny day? Or do you want a rainy day and a sunny day?
Hey, let's do one of each.
All right. Sunny day, I would say, if you can come here, my favorite season on a sunny day would be June, July. It's lupin season.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, tick off the black sand beaches. If you're a geologist, you're in heaven here with your rock formations and new black sand. A day in Vík would be go for a walk up Reynisfjall. The mountain.
Yeah.
Where you've got panoramic views, you'll see Dioli, you'll see Katla, mm-hmm. the glacier on top of that, you'll see the ocean, black sand beach. You might be lucky enough to see some whales.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in puffin season, They're right there everywhere.
They're not shy at all.
Meet them, don't eat them.
Yeah.
That's the rule. And don't touch them. Look, don't eat.
Yeah.
And walk back down, have a coffee at School Beans, maybe a bagel, buy some of Ice's jam.
Mm-hmm.
Walk it off to the waterfall, which is 2 kilometres from the bus. That's really pretty.
Yeah, what's that's the to the east, right?
Yes.
I don't know the name of it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure the name of it, but you walk until you can't walk any further because there's a little stream and there's the waterfall. If you're willing to get your feet wet up to ankle height, cross the stream and carry on walking around, and it's like a little elf land there. It's beautiful. Then come back, maybe go to the lava show or do a zip line.
Yeah.
If it's a really sunny day, paragliding.
Yes.
Hit the brewery, forget about all the troubles. And then stay in one of the, like, so many different types of accommodation.
Yeah, actually, that's true.
Fancy, really fancy hotels, really homely Airbnbs, and the hostel is like a really farm experience with all your chickens and your dogs. So if you're missing your dogs, you want to head there for sure.
Yes, there are dogs there.
Yes, they sound scary, but they are so friendly.
They just want you to throw a stick.
That's all they want. Just please throw a stick. It's the happiest dog in the world. I wish life was that simple. Throw a stick.
Well, it can be in Vic.
It can be in Vic. So that would be a sunny day. Get out and do some hiking, and you can. I mean, we're 5 minutes. Not 5 minutes. Oh, Ice Cave.
Oh, yes, yes.
So you can, there's ice caves all year round here, which is one of the very few locations in Iceland where you can.
That's in Mýrdalsjökull, the glacier itself.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah.
And that's like towards Skógafoss or?
No,
In the other, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you drive kind of inland to the east from here.
Yes, it's really nice. It's a short trip for, it's beginner's level, so you don't need to be really into hiking. It's really nice experience. It changes daily, that cave. If you want much more of a challenging hike, Thakir is the untapped hiking area. It's stunning, absolutely stunning there.
It is stunning there. And even the road to Thakir, it's beautiful. I mean, because you have these sandstone formations all over the place.
Yeah.
Really magical. It's kind of a, I mean, people, Iceland had a thing where we said, you know, why didn't they film Lord of the Rings in Iceland?
Why didn't they film Lord of the Rings? Maybe because the weather is not quite as nice as New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, and New Zealand has many things in common with Iceland. We have this very varied landscape, you know, within kind of a contained area. I mean, Iceland has, I always say, you know, you can drive, in some countries you just drive and drive for 5 hours and it's just fields or whatever. But here, it's basically different. It changes every half hour when you're driving.
Every mountain you go around, it changes. It's awesome.
That's maybe because the country is so young and we have all these different kinds of lava formations and glaciers and black sands and green areas. And that's, of course, why they have filmed a lot here. I mean, Vík area are the following that I'm going to remember. Of course, Katla, the new cool show on Netflix, Icelandic.
I'm not brave enough to watch it yet.
What?
I know. Well, I'm just, because I know it's a bit eerie, and I love this town, and I don't want to walk around in the soon-to-be winter months where it's a bit darker and be scared that some ghost or ghoul is going to come out and get me where I used to really like going.
I'll tell you what it's going to be. It's going to be my twin.
Your twin?
Yeah, my twin. It's going to be someone who looks like me.
Uh-huh.
Or Johannes.
Uh-huh.
Show up on your doorstep.
Well, if it looks like Johannes.
Yeah, you're going to be fooled. Well, we'll not spoil more about the show.
Well, it depends. Johannes. Does the twin snore or not?
Maybe he won't
snore. Maybe he'll snore.
Actually, I think the twins are usually better than the originals.
It's all right. I won't swap you for your twin. His twin's a sister, a girl. So.
But, you know, they're not to be trusted, those twins.
No.
Well, we have Katla.
Yep.
And then I remember Noah that Darren Aronofsky did. There are some shots that they did here, for example, in the Reynisfjara cave, down by the basalt column cave.
Uh-huh.
That was the Noah film. Star Wars, of course.
Yeah.
The Rogue One saga.
Mm-hmm.
probably something of the Game of Thrones. I mean,
Game of Thrones.
The list are kind of endless. Probably some James Bond stuff.
Probably some Justin Bieber, because he ruined about every area of ice.
I mean,
I know Avril Lavigne was filming a video in the Yoda Cave.
Yeah.
Which I know isn't the official name, but
no. People talk about Yoda Cave. I have a new name for it. Mm-hmm. The Jamiroquai Cave.
Oh yeah, because the hat.
Yes, like your horns. Yeah. I think it's more like Jamiroquai.
I feel at this moment slightly old, yet really impressed. I remember what you're talking about.
Yeah, Jamiroquai is a funk band from the 90s.
Yeah. Yeah, for all of the too young that don't know.
Yeah. Just, Google it. It's a nice band.
Yeah.
But that looks like the Yoda Cave, of course.
Yes.
Yoda is like a cultural phenomenon, just like Stalin or something.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
Everyone knows Yoda.
Yeah, but so people, I know, I've been asked when I've been with Harry Tourist, you know, what was filmed here and what was filmed there. And now it's become so common that it's almost every location.
There's always filming going on here.
Yeah.
If it's not nature documentaries,
mm-hmm.
There's always filming going on here.
Yeah.
It's the reason why I'm very confident to say it like that, like always, is we know a few people in that industry here,
mm-hmm.
and they're always setting up for new crew coming, and they don't tell us what's going on, but we know that there are lots of things about to go into production here, which is exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting, and the nice thing about celebrities in Iceland is it's not like them walking into London or a city where they would get swamped. It's such a chilled out country that our very famous Jamiroquai that we were talking about earlier could probably walk into School Beans and and you know, very famous people would come here and they don't get swamped. They feel that they can breathe. It's a very decompressing country to be in.
It is.
And the south of Iceland, because it's so diverse, it's so calming that we do attract the big names in Iceland.
Yeah.
I'm saying this as if I know exactly what I'm talking about, but maybe I digressed a bit.
No, it's true. I mean, Justin Bieber and everyone. I have a thing where I was thinking when you said that, I was thinking, because it's a small country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes are in situations that we're kind of up against each other. And I remember when I was freaking out one time,
Is it because you saw Justin Bieber?
I saw a better person, sorry.
There's a better person,
cooler person. I was in a sauna, in the old sauna at Löva,
mm-hmm.
in South Iceland. And in walks my idol at the time. And I'm alone in the sauna, and that's Björk.
Oh.
She's my
so
favorite.
Many people have bumped into her in a sauna,
and
I've never bumped into her. And she was, again, for the young children.
Yeah, she's a singer.
It's the same era as Jamiroquai, really.
Yeah, but she's acting now in a Viking film that's coming out. Yeah.
There was one of the main actresses from the series Viking, the really tall Icelandic girl. I should know her name.
I don't know. She's in something.
Maybe. She's beautiful, tall, and makes me feel...
Yeah, old. Ragnar.
Yes.
She's a swimming queen.
Yes.
She was a swim idol in Iceland, turned actress.
Yeah. Off topic, though. Yes, she was in the bus the other day. Yeah. But Björk, she's always knocking around.
Yeah,
and it's
the thing was that when she was there,
mm-hmm.
I was kind of, you know, I wanted to say something, but I didn't, because we Icelanders, we don't.
And
you know,
you're in swimwear, which makes it a bit more vulnerable.
Yeah, you wouldn't be talking to people, say, I love your work, or something.
And then have to sit in a hot sauna with them.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Awkward silent and crickets.
Yeah.
No, that's nice, though. I mean, I'm sure you're not the only one that's sort of completely ignored Björk when you met her.
Yeah. We do it on purpose. We act real cool, even though we're boiling inside. You know, we're jumping for joy for something, and then we just act cool. That's our way.
Yeah.
So people don't be surprised if we don't talk to you. We're just being cool.
As if I'm Icelandic.
You're Icelandic now. Yes, you are.
I feel like there's a part of me that can say I'm a resident of Iceland, but I wouldn't say I'm Icelandic.
And we're all people of the world.
Really, we are. I don't know. I don't know. I feel like I'm comfortable to at least look Icelandic in winter because I live in a lopapeysa.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is what you if you come from a country where you have cold seasons, mm-hmm. if there's one thing you buy in Iceland or one thing you want to save up for, an Icelandic sweater, a lopapeysa made with Icelandic wool and made by a local, which you can get in many smaller stores. They keep you warmer than any technical jacket, and you will see Icelanders in a blizzard and they have a lopapeysa on and an Icelandic wool hat and no fancy high-tech jacket. It's just fantastic. It's the best thing ever.
My mum, she makes all my woolen clothes.
Johannes' yeah. mum makes all eyes yeah. and the, even better, one step up, she does matchy-matchy for me and him.
That's the best presents. I mean,
it really is.
When I was a kid, mm-hmm. those are the things you didn't want, you know. I don't want the prickly wool thing, but after 20, then it's the coolest thing ever.
It's the coolest thing ever. And yeah. it's kind of hipster now as well, yeah. because it was, when I was a kid, if your grandma or your mum knitted a jumper, it would be a living nightmare. You'd have to wear it whenever they came round.
You have Víkurprjón. You're making it here in Vík as well, right?
Yeah, Katla
yeah.
Wool.
Yeah, Katla Wool. Yeah,
yeah. yeah. It's a new company that opened. And they are renovating their factory, which is their garage. Mm-hmm. It's a small couple. It's a couple that have started their independent wool company. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Really nice designs. And they're going to be making it so people can actually tour their processing, you know, see how it's all made, and that's really nice. And some of the locals here have sheep, and that when they shear the sheep, they give the wool to a spinner.
Yeah.
I don't know what the technical term is.
I think that's the right technical term. You make the wool thread out of it. Yeah.
And then they deliver their sheep wool that's been spun to Katla Wool, and they'll make their own lopapeysa or hat or whatever they want out of it, and that's really nice.
Yeah.
The post lady likes to wear her own sheep hat.
Yeah. And it's so individualistic, you know. You can if you get one of these handmade things in Iceland, then you're the only one, you know.
Oh, it's so nice. A handmade lopapeysa from someone you know is the best thing for two reasons, because if you get a hole in it, they can fix it.
Yeah.
But it's also really sentimental.
And for those crafty of you out there,
yes.
you can just buy the wool ready
yep.
and make it yourself. There are recipes online.
I mean, when
things.
We have those very rare, almost unheard of rainy days in Vík, it's a perfect activity.
Yeah. You sit, you watch the rain and the birds flying outside.
Yeah, knit yourself a lopapeysa. And on rainy days, what would we do on a rainy day? Well, probably not. A rainy, windy day in Vík, probably not paragliding or zip lining. Maybe was zip lining good in the rain?
See, I did it today in
yeah,
the rain.
In
it was
rain.
Beautiful. And also because the weather changes every 5 minutes.
Five
so
minutes.
It started in the rain, ended yeah. in sunshine.
This
so.
Is true. Lava show.
Yeah.
Only place in the world where they pour real lava into a room full of people. Mm-hmm. What could go wrong?
Nothing.
It's brilliant. It's all about Katla, the volcano we're under.
Mm-hmm.
Which is worth knowing, worth going to, because they, for the simple reason they give you the evacuation plan, which is really, really handy if you don't know what it is.
Let's talk about that, because Vík is one of the most dangerous places on Earth, right?
It is. We are underneath the Katla volcano,
yeah.
which is a monster of a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
It every time she erupts, and I'm going to have to be really careful here, because Johannes is the Katla Geopark geologist.
Okay.
If I get my facts wrong,
yeah,
he's sitting in the other room and he's going to tell me off. Or maybe he'll just pretend that I know exactly what I'm talking about.
He can pop up and you
he
know,
can correct me.
Can, yeah,
every time Katla erupts, it increases our land mass by a lot. In Iceland actually gets bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And the house we're in now and a lot of the town is on new land from Katla from the last eruption or the last couple. Not sure, too scared to specify exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But the old sea cliffs are all way inland, the other side of Route 1. So Route 1 is, if you're driving through Vík from Reykjavík and you look to your left and you see the mountains, they're the old sea cliffs.
Yeah.
So it's really a huge volcano that erupts
Forcefully
and like clockwork, and it's over 100 years overdue when it's normally 50 years on average it erupts.
We knew it was overdue. We've been talking about it being overdue for about 20 years or something, you know. I remember people saying, yeah, it's overdue.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, the the people in Vík, the elderly in Vík, used to be terrified of Katla erupting. And now they're like, it better erupt before I die. I've been scared of this thing my whole life.
But let's just let it wait a little bit longer.
Let it wait a little bit longer. I would be very happy if it didn't erupt, just because I like my house, I like my job, my life.
Yeah, it's very important. Yeah.
But in all seriousness, we do have an evacuation plan here. And there is world-leading technology in Iceland with the volcanoes, and especially around Katla. So if it looked like she was about to really start waking up, there are plenty of perfectly organized systems in place that will make sure that everyone is safe. And because Iceland is a small country that isn't overpopulated, we haven't got to move 2 million people out of the way, like other countries that build entire cities underneath volcanoes that are very active.
Our geologists are among the best in the world, and
they are.
And they ensure that our science is on the forefront of these things.
Absolutely.
You know, getting to know when and how to react, you know.
Look at that. It's true. It is true. No, it really is, actually.
Yeah, and right now we're learning so much with the current eruption in Geldingadalur.
Oh, my goodness, it's fantastic. Yeah. I guess you've been there multiple times.
10 times.
Just a few.
I mean, I work in this thing. Yeah.
Yes, we went once, and it was at the time where it was just the one big one that kept doing the like fountain eruptions every few minutes.
That's the best one.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. My favourite moment was when the wind dropped and we heard it. Oh wow, I never felt so small. It was awesome. Really, really cool.
Yeah, it was quite powerful.
Yeah, really, really cool. I loved that. I loved it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And we might be getting another one in Grimsvötn, maybe.
Yeah, things are active right now. I mean, there are a lot of earthquakes this year and a little bit bigger than usual. But
we had a massive earthquake here. My plant pot wobbled.
Yeah, this is Iceland, you know.
This is Iceland.
It comes with the territory.
Yeah, it's really nice. And we're actually thinking of going to the Westman Islands in a couple of weekends, and there was a volcano there that erupted in 1973, and you can still hike up there and find little pockets that are hot enough to melt marshmallows.
My dad, he was one of the guys who went there with a boat to evacuate the people, and they were building up houses, you know, saving stuff with shovels when it was happening.
It were the stories of the Westman Islands and that eruption are so impressive.
It was in 1973, and they did one thing which was actually in the forefront of, you know, they tried to divert the lava flow.
It was the world's first, wasn't it, to divert lava flow by...
They pumped ocean water into it with, you know...
To save their harbour.
Yeah.
And it was a fire. They evacuated 5,000 people overnight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just by luck that all the boats were there because of a storm earlier in the day, I think. Yeah. And the population of Westman Island still hasn't gone back to 5,000.
No.
It's still under... And it, when you go there, and it's worth a trip, you can do a day trip and you don't need to hire a car. Yeah,
they have an excellent museum about the whole thing.
Oh, it's awesome. It's within the eruption site, really. Mm-hmm. And really nice town to walk around. Nice restaurants. Just a cool day trip.
Yeah, just next to Vík.
30 minutes.
You could almost swim.
Yeah, you could almost swim. 30 minutes ferry ride.
Yeah.
And when you arrive to the harbour, you want to be outside on the ferry because you'll see the formations of the lava, and it's like going into some dinosaur land.
Yeah, primal. That's what I was thinking. Yeah,
really, really cool.
This is a common thing in Iceland. This is often used with like science fiction stuff for showing primal, you know, conditions. Yeah. You know, this is the way life form basically straight from the lava, you know, with the micro greenery and stuff. Lava show rainy day and then maybe I would get a beer on a rainy day too.
Get a beer in the brew for sure, not before getting a coffee at school. But also there's some museums here. There's the Katla Center, which has a great selection of information about the volcano that we're under, which is really interesting to know. I think it's something that you just take 10 minutes out of your day to have a look around. Opposite there's a maritime museum, and there's a film that's a really old-fashioned film. It's 20 minutes long. It's got the squawkiest music you can ever imagine. And
I'm excited.
It's almost like watching a cine film for all those young ones that don't know what that is. I'm not even going to explain it, but it's really, really cool. And it explains why Vieg is here and how it functioned before, you know, in the olden times, before Route 1, before all of the conveniences we have. And it was, Icelanders are resilient, tough people that have really lived in extreme situations. And
we're like the sheep.
You are like the sheep. And it's fantastic. That's like a half an hour out of your day. So you could go half an hour Catalyst Centre, half an hour Maritime Museum, maybe with your coffee in your hand from School Beans. Go to the brewery before or after the lava show. Oh, in the evening as well, the soup... Oh, so sorry. In the evening, the soup company also do cocktails.
Ooh.
Yes, it's exciting until you wake up the next day.
I was thinking, you know, with the cocktails and the beers, it's maybe going to be hard to knit the woolen sweater. You
know,
it
could be like that. Really creative pattern.
Yeah,
design.
Really creative pattern, you know.
It would look like the Northern Lights in the morning when you didn't intend. You intended for straight lines when you got green wavy lines.
It's going to be a very random woolen sweater after that.
And although this is a little funny, strange town, we get really good Northern Lights here, and you only have a 5-minute drive out of town or a small walk up to the graveyard. I know that sounds scary, to be away from the lights.
Yeah, but it's a charming place.
Really, really nice to see Northern Lights.
It's the church from Katla. That's where you're going to be.
The outside, but the inside of the church in the TV show isn't this church.
No, of course not.
Yeah. But I've heard. I won't watch it. Yeah.
You should watch it. I recommend it. It's cozy. You know it's fiction, so it's all good.
Okay. I'm still going to say no.
Excellent. I think we could probably talk, which is a good thing, you know. It's like with the Northern Lights, even though you can see them here, and you have a small place, and when you have a small place, there's less light pollution. So
yes.
If you're hunting for Northern Lights, get out of Reykjavik, you know.
Absolutely.
That's what you want to do.
Two and a half hours drive from the city.
Yeah.
You've got somewhere that you need to spend 1 or 2 days here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as we can hear right now, I mean, there's so many things to do, and I think I'm going to stay here tonight again.
And if you really are thinking, if you're like really picking at reasons to stay here, when you are a visitor of Iceland and you're trying... Oh, so sorry, let me put my phone on silent.
Okay.
When you're a visitor of Iceland and you've got your GPS or your Google Maps and you're trying to write the name of the towns that you need to go to and you're about to throw your phone out the window, that is one fundamental reason to go here.
Yeah.
It's just V-I-K.
Yeah, it's not Fossgrúsfjörður.
Or Kirkjubæjarklaustur. Name some more that we...
Yeah. It's not Ísafjörður or the Fjörður, of course, are sometimes really tongue twisters, you know.
Yeah. Where we get
it's not Trekillisvík.
Yeah, it's just Vik.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
When people say, why do you live here? I say, it's way easier to spell than Kirkjubæjarklaustur.
Oh, we should have just said that. That's like the
that would have halved the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have been out of here ages ago. Sorry about that.
Oh,
why
so
did you hear it? I can spell it.
Thank you so much, Holly. This is even feels short. So, but thank you so much for the coffee and the chat. And I hope all of you guys will visit Vík in the near future.
Come. Thank you.
Have a nice day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.